and Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard, women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another night of Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. And I've got to tell you, I ran out of numbers when I count the ways that I love Sarah McLean, and I can't believe we got you on the show. So cool! Welcome to the program, Sarah McLean.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
I like both
Canned Laughter and Coffee, so this seems perfect for me.
I know, but isn't it a little late in the evening for coffee?
Never.
I'm not one of those people who has to, cut off my caffeine intake. Thank God. I'm told that some people have terrible lives and have to do that.
I have to tell you though, because we were talking before the show, and we were talking about Italy. Which I just came back from Italy from the Women's Fiction Festival. Here's what I learned about coffee in Italy. You can't have cappuccino after 10 a.m. or it will kill you.
You mean specifically cappuccino or
anything with
espresso in it?
No. You can have espresso. You can have espresso like at dinner time because that cleans the pipes. Anybody who's ever had an Italian espresso knows it cleans the pipes. It's true. And if you go to Italy and you order a cappuccino after 10 a.m., you may get a very rude waiter who informs you that you can't even go to McDonald's and get one. I'm not kidding. And the reason behind that is Italians believe that the milk does something to your digestive system and makes it hard for you to digest your food. And so after you have your cappuccino, you have to
have cheese and other dairy products throughout the day without any problems.
Yeah, look, you can have shaved ice. Cubed ice will kill you. It'll kill you. You'll die.
Yeah.
No, really.
The Italians, they don't like ice.
No.
Period.
My father's
an Italian and he's a coffee purist, as is my husband, who's a Californian, and that's the only thing that keeps them, sane around each other. But absolutely, cappuccino was never a thing in our house ever growing up. It was always an espresso. So I'm not surprised if you got snooty waiters in Italy.
I'm shocked. Cubed ice will kill you. I'm writing that down.
Yeah,
I'm going to use that in a book. All right, so... Before we get too far, we do need to give the web address so that everybody can find you, just in case they haven't found you. So it's McLeanSpace.com because some other rude person has Sarah McLean. So
there's another Sarah McLean. And, I confess I have Googled myself once or twice. And, the SarahMcLean.com, the last time I was there, and somebody's probably going to prove me wrong right now, but... It was just a dead website, but it's owned by somebody, I hope by somebody named Sarah McLean, and there's an ornithologist named Sarah McLean, she's into birds, and I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So I would really like for this to be owned by ornithologist Sarah McLean. That would be awesome.
Oh, I hope so. And then there'd be like birds, it'd be cool, and... you might talk her into a link. You could talk her into a link.
Yeah, but when I was looking for URL, MySpace is still a thing, so I'm kind of dating myself. But McLeanSpace was the thing with the URL that I sort of thought was clever, and now I sort of wish that I had chosen, Face McLean or something.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Well, Sheila has a story about you that apparently she's dying to tell, but I am actually dying to ask about the numbers books because, I just think it's fantastic. But go, Sheila, go.
Nervous.
I am going to tell
you. I know, me too. I'm like, I hope this isn't an embarrassing story, Sarah. If you want to stop her,
Sheila, be kind.
Now is your time.
I get given a lot of books just because I work in the industry, and so I have a very robust to-be-read pile, and I actually had two friends recommend the same exact book the same day, but my very dear friend, Sharina, she told me, she gave me the book, and she says, no, you need to read it now. And she emphasized, and now she's from Brooklyn. Okay, so we don't screw around here. Now, I have to say, hopefully she's not listening right now, because I can see the book from where I'm sitting, but I have not had a chance to read it. But it's the 9 rules to break when romancing a rake.
Now.
Well, you know, she and I are both real big Lisa Kleypas fans, I have to say. And so I say it, but I'm a little snooty when it comes to historical romance. I really am. And not snooty like you know, it has to be historically accurate or I'm going to have a, you know, I'm going to implode. I'm not that kind of, but you know, I, you know, Lisa Kleypas is a high bar, you know, and it's gotta have, you know, just the love where you're just like dying for them to get together, and it's gotta have a little, you know, humor to it, that kind of thing. So when she said, no, you don't understand, you need to read it now. Like, okay.
Well, and it was, I think she was right, and I think you've been a bad friend.
I know. And I have to tell you, Lisa Kleypas is not writing historical romance right now. She's writing, she calls it practical magic, but it's, we call it paranormal in my world, but she calls it practical magic, and she can call it anything she likes, it's wonderful, but, you know, it's like, then where do I go to get my historical romance fix?
I don't know, Renee Bernard, I don't know, Sarah McLean, I'm hurt, I'm sitting here going, I don't know. Do you know any historical romance authors? Apparently not any. I don't know. Gee.
Well, you know, I mean, I think Lisa sets the bar very, very high. You're absolutely right. But I also think that she's raised, by setting the bar so high, she's actually sort of raised generation of new, younger historical romance writers. By younger, I mean more... more recent historical romance writers who like want to hit that bar that Lisa Kleypas has set. So I think, I like to think the whole industry is sort of rising thanks to people like her.
Yeah.
I agree. And I see more and more, and I, you know, I probably should have invited my friend Sharina to come on. She's a reader. She's not a writer. She's a reader. And she could tell you.
Readers.
She could tell you all of the best historical romance, right? Because that's her favorite. That is her favorite genre. I probably read, you know, 3 or 4 authors who write historical romance, because I read such a wide variety. But she was so adamant about this book. It's like I'm going to see her next month. I better have read this book.
Well, it's not scary or anything. I mean, I think you could probably get through it.
There you go.
And please let me know.
Am I the only person who has like the giant 2D red pile of all those books where people have said, no, you have to read, and it grows and grows, and you're like, the guilt, it's horrible. I mean, that sinking feeling. I mean, I want to read it. There they are. I'm desperate to read them, but I'm not getting around to it as quickly as
absolutely.
I should.
Absolutely. And you know, being in the industry or being an author, it makes it even worse, because you feel like, you know, first of all, your friends' books, you know, rise to the top, and you feel like, oh my God, I have to read that book before I see that person, or before,
yes,
you know, I have to read it right away.
Yes, right?
Absolutely. And so things get back, and then you have to write your own, which is a whole other thing.
I love this website. It's cute. It says, I write books. They're smooching in them.
They're smooching.
It says it all, right?
You know,
there
it is. Smooch
smooching
a lot.
Them.
I think I said it. Is it just smooching, or I'm just, I'll pretend I don't know. Is there more than smooching in them, Ms. McLean, or is it the spiritual kiss at the end like Barbara Cartland, or are you going a little further than smooching?
No, these go a little bit further, but I started out in YA, and the word smooch actually came from my editor at the time, who, you know, I write the kiss, and she would write in the margins of my manuscript, you know, by the kiss, you know, more smooching. And I really think the word smooch didn't get used enough, so I'm trying to just quietly bring it back.
But Seattle was so a little bit deeper.
It's lost. I love it. I think that's fantastic.
So now, are there going to be more of the numbered books, or have you come to the end of that series?
Are you kidding? The titling those books is the hardest part about writing those books. No more titles with numbers and rhymes. None. Love by Numbers was it started out as it is a trilogy or it's a series of three, and it's connected by siblings. But I always loved the idea, and you know, speaking of people like Lisa Kleypas, I love the idea of having a whole world of characters who are interconnected and in some way. So actually, the Love by Numbers books are connected to The Season, which was my first book, my YA. And my next book, which comes out in February, Rogue by Any Other Name, the heroine is actually the jilted fiancé in the last Love by Numbers series. I felt like I couldn't jilt the fiancé and leave her there sad and alone. So she gets her book finally. It starts a new series. She's sort of the crossover character.
Love happy endings, don't we? I mean, that's what we want. We want happy endings for everybody.
Of course. And I'm such a huge romance reader, and I love it when I love all the little Easter eggs of, like, all the people who you've seen in all the books, all the prior books. You know, the dressmaker who makes an appearance in every book, or the crotchety old Doyenne of Baton who, you know, pokes people with her cane. So
yes. Yeah, well, it's world building, and you create one. I mean, you create a wonderful fictional world, and then you keep bouncing into those characters. I think that's rewarding for readers, actually, because there's a familiarity there and kind of a fun. I mean, maybe they feel like they're the only one that maybe spotted them, or I don't know. So I think it's very cool. And the great thing about a number of series is, let's face it, I don't think you can run out of those. Am I right, Sheila? That is limitless.
Infinite to me.
That's brilliant. Alphabet books. Let's see, who has those alphabet books? That's only 26 books. I mean, she has limited herself to 26 books.
Poor
you.
Grafton, not thinking ahead.
But you thought ahead. You're like, I could have a million ways to just, you know. I love
The hard thing about those numbered books was that 9 was titled as a joke. Literally, it was titled to get the attention of editors when it went out, and I thought there was absolutely no way this book was going to hit shelves with that crazy title. But I'm pretty sure that my editor at Avon was like, I think she didn't even read the book. I think she just bought the title. It's like, this is fine. Let's put it out there. And 9 rules, it was very connected to the story. I mean, the book is about a woman who makes a list of 9 things she wishes she could do if she weren't, you know, if she didn't have to face the consequences. So 9 made sense, and then, you know, I knew 10 would, I wanted the numbers always to make sense. So, and that makes it a real challenge. So, you know, 10 became, a list of 10 ways to land London's most eligible bachelor, and then 11 actually became the 11 scandals that the heroine causes over the course of the book. But that kind of trope,
a lot of scandals.
I think probably would get old fast. So
that's a lot of scandals, by the way. 11.
I hate to say it, but we've got like 60 seconds.
Oh, that's wrong. It's horrible, isn't it? Okay, everybody. So, McLeanSpace.com, and if you see birds or something about ornithology, then that's, you're on the wrong site, or you have been misdirected.
Well, you're Sarah McLean, but I'm sure she would love to have
you. What you're looking for is something with smooching. So, if you see smooching, then you know you're in the right Sarah McLean space. So, it's all good. Go from there. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well,
and
thank you guys
for putting up with our silliness. We are a goofy program. But
I love
please
it.
Come back
I
in
come
February.
Back.
please come back in February when A Rogue by Any Other Name comes. And I, because we should do it again, don't you think? And then we can just hang out. And
brought to you by Circle of Seven.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
And welcome to our circle.